Name the two oceans that meet at the southernmost part of South Africa. Okay. Well, I said to the trivia team, I've got this one. I know the answer to this one. It is the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. Last night, when I preached this at Saturday Night Church, everyone's like, she's so wrong. You guys all believe me. No. Okay. No. But I was so confident in my answer. I thought it is definitely the Pacific and the Atlantic. And I saw a few raised eyebrows in my team, a few perplexed looks, but I was confident. I knew the right answer here, and perhaps a touch insistent. So reluctantly, my fellow team members wrote down Atlantic and Pacific. And sure enough, a little bit later when they read out the answers, guess who lost the meat tray? We did, because of my answer. And actually, I actually know the answer to that question geographically, but I had it in my mind and I couldn't get it out of my mind and I became insistent. And look, just for those of you who are curious, this is where the two oceans actually meet there, which I find actually really quite fascinating when they come together. But that's by the by, okay? But what's it like when you're around someone else who always has to get their own way? That they know the right directions and you need to follow them. You ever been in a car with someone and you're driving and you know how to get there, but they seem to know better? Yes. What about someone that they always know the right place to eat? They know the right movie to watch. They know whatever it is, they're always right. What's it like being around these people? Exhausting. This is exhausting. What's it like being on my trivia team? Exhausting. Well, today we are unpacking this word, submission, okay? And this is part of our Armed and Dangerous series that we've been doing over the last couple of weeks here at North Brisbane Salvos. Now, throughout this series, we've actually been looking at each of these as a spiritual discipline. Now, a spiritual discipline is something that helps us grow in our relationship with God. It's something that, I guess, helps us grow more like Jesus. And when we follow these, it helps develop us and really kind of grow our character as well. So that's what we've been looking at. And I don't quite know how it worked out that I got submission. I find that quite interesting. But anyway, I've had a ball for about the last 6 weeks, perhaps not a ball, unpacking this and working this through myself and leading to what I have to share with you this morning from the Word of God, from the book of Philippians. Well, there's a guy called Richard Foster, and he actually wrote a book called Celebration of Discipline. And he actually says that there's no discipline that's been more abused than that of submission. Most abused discipline at all. So what does this word actually mean? What does it really mean to be submissive? Because let's be honest, submission has so many negative connotations attached to it, doesn't it? It's sort of derogatory. It sounds like it's oppressive. It sort of sounds like there's a loss of individuality. There's bondage. There's compliance associated with this word. And to be honest, when I hear the word submission, it's like this inner rebellion starts to run riot in me because I just can't stand it. It sounds like it's stifling me, this word. And it really has a negative vibe in regard to women. Would you agree with that? Yes, it does. And often when I hear the word submission, I think about someone being like a doormat. Yep, I'm getting a few nods around the room. Someone that always says yes, like a pleaser. Someone that doesn't have an opinion about something. Someone that doesn't have a voice in a situation. And that does not resonate with me at all. In fact, my particular personality type says that I think the rules apply to everybody else but not me. So anyway, that's just a little insight there. It makes me feel stifled, this word. But you know what? There are many times when kind of intuitively we know that submission is necessary. Put your hand up if you've ever had surgery, okay? Probably, sadly, most of us, okay? Imagine if you weren't prepared to submit to your surgeon, okay? Disaster. Imagine if we didn't submit to road rules, okay? You kind of get the picture about that. But submission actually means to prioritize the desires, the perspectives, and the opinions of another person above yourself. That's what it's actually meaning here. And submission, it's just so countercultural. It's completely opposite to what, however, the world kind of wants to operate. The idea of giving power away to someone else seems almost ridiculous, doesn't it? How on earth can this word possibly be positive? But what if we could literally transform our thinking around this word? What if instead of the word submission being oppressive and negative and derogatory, we could look at this word as being self-giving and releasing and literally freeing? Is this actually possible here? What if the real goal behind submission was actually freedom? Because the biblical idea of submission isn't that it's stifling, it means that it's freeing. How can this be? What about freedom from always having to get your own way? Freedom from pushing your own agenda? Freedom to allow other people into the spotlight? Freedom in knowing that your contentment isn't dependent upon you always being right? Imagine being released from that. Starting to sound a bit more interesting now, perhaps? Perhaps we can talk about this word in a different framework? Well, this is where the passage that Robin read to us before comes into play. And I love this passage. I love what it says about Jesus. But the first couple of verses are just so ridiculously practical. And they literally have step-by-step instructions and nuggets of gold in them about how we can apply this to our life. So what was happening, just let me set a bit of context here, is that this guy called Paul was writing this passage. And Paul was, he'd helped start this church at Philippi. And he wasn't living there anymore. And what he'd heard was there were people at loggerheads with each other in the church. And Paul knew straight away that disunity is always a danger. Disunity is a danger for any church. Disunity is a danger for any marriage. Disunity is a danger for any family. Disunity is a danger in the workplace. Disunity is a danger in any group project. Has anyone ever at school or university or TAFE ever been in a group project? Is it fun? No. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? There's often a lot of disunity in it. So Paul here gives some awesome and practical advice about this word, submission, and how we can tweak our thinking around this word, okay? And I want to say today, I just want to be really upfront, that I actually think this passage should want us to be quite introspective, to be willing to take a look at ourselves and our behaviour and our thoughts. So I want to invite you to come on a journey with me this morning as we unpack this word submission and what it actually looks like and how it can really transform our lives when used in a correct biblical context. Okay. Well, the first point this morning, so if you're taking notes or if you want to keep your Bibles open and look this up, I encourage you to do that. But the first point is that freedom in submission is found when there is a commitment to unity. A commitment to unity. Now, the first couple of verses that Paul starts here, so remember, he's talking to these people that are at loggerheads with each other. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Unity, like-minded. Having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. So he's saying to those who are sort of fighting with each other potentially. He says, actually, guys, hang on a sec. You guys had made a decision to follow Jesus. And you're making a decision to want to live by him. So hang on, if Jesus has affected your life in any way, then make a commitment to being unified with each other. Don't let what Jesus has done fall on deaf ears. Don't let it mean nothing to you. And he says, look, can I just talk straight to you here? Be like-minded with each other. Because unity, it brings people together rather than divides and separates. So if we can look at submission as coming from a place of unity, then let me tell you, it does not sound so stifling anymore or scary. Now, there is always going to be something for each of us to disagree about, okay? If you've noticed outside on our concrete, we're looking at changing up the colours out there. Now, I really doubt there'd be any of us that would 100% agree on the right colour to paint that, okay? There's always going to be a disagreement. If you're going on a holiday with friends, you might struggle to agree on where you want to go, okay? If you're looking to buy a house or rent a house, sometimes there's a disagreement about that. Sometimes parents have a disagreement about whether to allow their kids to go to schoolies. It's one of ours. Tough. And then if you say yes, what does that really look like, okay? There's always going to be disagreements around for people. And these can create disunity if we don't come from a place of unity. So how on earth do we do that? Because trust me, it is easier said than done. I can say, oh yeah, I'm committed to unity. But then I might not actually show that. Well, this comes when we look to find common ground with people. And as Paul said, it's about being like-minded. Find out where you agree and make that the foundation that you have. So let's just take that concrete, for example. You know what? We all might have a different idea about whether it should be blue steel or half-strength charcoal, okay, or granite. Doesn't really matter. But when we all come down to it, probably most people here would say what we can agree on, what our common ground is, that we want to use non-slip paint because we don't want any accidents. And that we don't want it to show the dirt as much as perhaps the other colours have. So already, generally, we've found a place of common ground between us that we can build on then. And then Paul says, you know what? Don't just find common ground. Choose to do it out of love for each other. Because love unites rather than divides. Paul calls this having the same love, having that love that Jesus had, having that kind of love. And making an intentional choice to approach a situation out of love, even when someone else has a different perspective of you than you, choose to love anyway. Now, what I've got for each of the points this morning is I've put up a little scale. And as I said, this is quite introspective today. And I wonder what you think about yourself. Do you have a commitment to finding unity with people, even if they come from a different perspective or disagree with you? And if you do or don't, where would you position yourself on that scale? You know what? Submission becomes so much easier, doesn't it, when we begin with a commitment to unity, when we say we want to find common ground and desire to show love in every situation. Because then you realise someone else isn't the enemy. Generally, they'd want the same things of you. You just make a commitment to find it in a loving way. Submission then doesn't seem quite so stifling. Well, the second point is that freedom in submission is found when we display humility. Now, I love, there's two options here we can look at in terms of translations. The first was what Robin read to us earlier, where it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. But I also really love the Message translation. It's so practical again. Don't push your way to the top. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and let others get ahead. For forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. It's pretty confronting language that's used there, isn't it? Wow. Well, back when the Bible was written, humility was like a character virtue that was really looked down upon. No one wanted to be humble. In fact, if you were humble, you were sort of putting yourself on the same level as a slave, sort of saying, oh, you're worthless. So no one really wanted to be humble. People wanted to promote themselves, push their way to the top, sweet talk their way, etc. And then Jesus came along and showed everyone a different way to live. Showed everyone how to value people and put others first. And through his teaching and actions, this actually started to become a really admired quality. So what is humility? Because it's one of those words you kind of can maybe think of people that are humble, but what does it mean? Humility actually means not thinking less about yourself, like you're worthless, but thinking less about yourself. So that your default thought isn't, oh, how is this going to affect me? It's like, how will this affect other people? So how do we do this? Well, here's a couple of people that can maybe kind of show us a little bit of ideas. Think about the Donald Trump, okay? His leadership style versus Jacinda Ardern, the New Zealand Prime Minister. What about Nick Kyrgios? Humble? Not really. As opposed to Ash Barty. Beautifully humble. Well, Paul says to those who are reading this letter, he's like, you know what? If you're going to display humility, you need to check your motives. In verse 2, he says, look, don't do anything out of selfish ambition. Selfish ambition? What does that actually mean? I guess, you know those people that perhaps seek personal advantage? They want to push themselves, they've got push themselves to the front because they've got their own things that they want to have done. They do this regardless of the effect that this might have on others. They always look after themselves first, okay? If your motives are out of whack, submission is always going to be a problem. And let me tell you, parents can be specials at this, okay? Parents can absolutely want to push their own agendas in regards to their kids. Talk to any teacher, anyone choosing maybe positions for school musicals or sporting teams. Don't self-inflate is another way we can show humility. Verse 2 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Wow, vain conceit. Don't promote yourself and your achievements. If someone else does it, that's their choice. But you don't need to vocalize where you're a legend, okay? You don't need to self-inflate. Or there's even a false humility. Now, this is a little trickier. So when I was in high school, I had a friend, and generally she would always do better than me in exams. And the teacher would distribute the exams, and we'd sit next to each other, and say she might get an 81 and I might get a 74, okay? And then she'd look at this and she'd see what I got. And she goes, I just can't believe I did so badly on this exam. I just did so badly. This is so embarrassing. I'm thinking, I got a 74 and you think an 81 is embarrassing. But it's kind of a bit of false humility because she's kind of wanting to lift herself up that way. So that's not what we're talking about either. That is not helpful. That's still some form of self-inflation here. What about letting other people go first? Ooh, this can be a tricky one. Letting other people go first in your conversations. Letting other people go first by leaving the best seat for somebody else. When you get on a train or a bus, do you like to take the best seat for yourself? Or are you thinking about other people? Wanting about letting other people go first when it comes to food? Do you want to get the best for yourself or make sure there's something good for someone else? What about when you've got to make a decision? Do you let other people go first in their thoughts or opinions, or you want to get in first and state exactly what you're about? Some of you might have seen these cartoon characters called Mac and Tosh. Now, Mac and Tosh were very kind of made famous with some of the Disney, perhaps, cartoons. And they were like these gophers, and they had this over-politeness about each other. And they'd say, you go first. They'd be like, no, you go first. No, you go first. And they'd have this kind of over-politeness about them. That's not what we're talking about here. It's okay to have an opinion, but you don't need to be over-polite about it. How do you go about letting other people go first? Or do you like to get in there first and make sure your needs are taken care of? What about releasing pride? Humility in this passage is all about having the same mindset as Jesus. He was humble in every single way. He gave up his own pride so God's will could be carried out. And you know what? God's will can be carried out in us when we release our pride as well. And pride is often characterized by arrogance. You know, someone who always has to be right. Someone who never acknowledges fault. Someone who never ever says that they're sorry or they've made a mistake. Someone who can't accept correction. And what about this one? You might have had a discussion or made a decision and it didn't quite go the way you thought, and then they come back within, I told you so. Yeah, that's not fun, that one, isn't it? You know what? Whenever you want to say, I told you so, it's really a pride thing here. It's really about not wanting to be humble. So whenever those words want to come out of your mouth, I told you so, just try and give it up. So, bit of introspection again. Where are you on this scale? If you had to plot yourself here between arrogance and humility, where would you say you are? You don't have to tell anybody. Because when we display humility, when we're checking our motives, when we're not self-inflating, when we're letting others go first, and when we're releasing pride, then guess what? We display humility. And when we do that, suddenly submission again isn't so scary. Submission becomes not so stifling. It can become freeing because we're not trapped in wanting to do these things. And finally, submission, freedom in submission is found when we surrender our interests. Have a look at verse 4 here. It's not about looking to the interests, your own interests, but to the interests of others. Now, there's a couple of things that it's important to qualify here. I don't reckon Paul is saying here that you shouldn't look out for your own interests. All of us have interests that we do need to be careful that we don't neglect. Obviously, like your health, like your safety, your employment, housing, things like that. They are interests that need to be looked out for. But it's saying, don't just look out for your own. Look out for the interests of other people around you. Don't just be so self-focused that you don't see that. Other people's interests are your priority too. Now, there's also something else that's really important to qualify here. Submission can also be dangerous when we carry it too far. Now, I also think here when it's talking about our interests, I think that each of us have interests of ethics and morals and values that we need to make sure that we uphold. So, for example, and this sounds really extreme, if Craig came home and said, and we were preparing our tax return, and he said, look, let's say that we gave this and we did this and we claimed all these things that weren't right. Now, you could be thinking, well, doesn't this passage say give in to other people and let other people go first and all this sort of thing? I don't agree with that when it compromises your interests of your ethics, your values, and your morals. It's never okay for someone to want you to break the law and you just give in to that because you think, oh, well, I better be submissive here. That's not okay. It's never okay if perhaps you're with a group of people and they've invited you to go out with them and you're with your friend and say, oh, look, let's just say we can't, when actually you could, and lie about it. That's not when submission is okay either, okay? Just important to qualify some of those points there. But when you surrender your interests, this is actually about putting aside your own agenda. Every single one of us have agendas and interests that we want to promote, perhaps in a family, in the workplace, in whatever situation. You've got something that you want to bring to the forefront here, okay? But this isn't about coming from a place where I guess it's about saying that our opinions don't matter more than other people's here, okay? It's about saying that this person's opinion is also important. It's not just about me here. And this comes mostly when we choose to value other people. And one of the easiest ways to surrender our interests first is to actually value other people and what's happening in their lives. Now, if I'm going to be honest, I reckon this third point for me personally is where I tend to struggle the most about surrendering my interests. A couple of years ago, so Craig and I and our four kids, we moved to Queensland 7.5 years ago and to take on the leadership of this church. It was a really big deal for our family. We'd lived in Sydney all our lives. We'd lived in the house we were living for 12 years. All our kids had to move schools, interstate. We left all our family and friends behind, okay? Anyone that's ever done that knows it's a big deal. And we were shopping in Queen Street Mall and we came across a friend from Sydney that we had, you know, we'd just moved up here and we started to have a conversation and she talked and she talked and she talked. And then time came for us to move on. And she'd known what had happened in our lives. And Craig and I walked away and we just said, wow. When we were with this woman, she did not ask us one single question. She took no interest in what had been happening for our family, how our kids were, how the church was. All she did was talk about herself for about 10 or 15 minutes. And I just remember feeling like verbally assaulted almost after that. I remember walking along and I felt like God then just got a mirror and put it in front of my face. And I was like, you know what, Donna, you're like that too. You often just want to talk about what's important to you. You often don't take an interest in other people. Oh, it was a bit of a tough moment for people, for me. Sometimes what you despise in somebody else is often exactly what's happening in you. You know, Paul here says that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus so genuinely valued other people. And this, for us, this comes across in who are you having a conversation with? Even today after church, if you're doing all the talking, you're not really valuing the other person. You need to ask questions, take an interest, find out what's happening in someone else's life. What are their dreams? What are their goals? What are their ambitions? What's happening? And then when you do this, you start to see the world from someone else's perspective, not just your own. When we consider the interests of others before ourselves, guess what? Submission doesn't seem quite so stifling anymore. Here's our scale. And I know for me personally, I'm right down the self-centered end there. Where are you surrendering your interests, putting others first in your conversations, setting aside your own agenda, being genuine in valuing other people? You know, when you do this, it starts to get freeing. Guess what? Your happiness and your well-being isn't dependent upon pushing your own way to the front, pushing your own agenda. I'm wondering what your life might look like if you redefined this word submission by what we've unpacked here today. I think it would be revolutionary for each of us if we just took a new spin on this word. I think there'd be greater joy in us. I think there'd be so much of a greater commitment to unity between us. Far less disagreements, way less tension. There'd be such a sense of unity between us. And guess what? When that happens, the church is then also built up, which was Paul's ultimate goal here too. This redefining of the word submission, it could literally transform your life. It could transform your marriage. It could transform your family. It could transform that next group project. It could transform your ministry team here at church potentially. This word could literally be transformative for each of us here. Imagine the release. I don't have to get my own way. It's freeing here, literally. Because when we're committed to unity, when we choose to display humility, and when we just surrender our interests, we position ourselves to be free. Because submission isn't stifling. It's actually freeing. Free from self-promotion. Free from the need to put ourselves first all the time. Free from the need to be right. Free from the need to have our own way. This is exactly what Paul wanted for his beloved church that he'd helped to start at Philippi. He wanted them to submit to one another because he knew it was the most freeing choice they could display. And of course here, those words read from Robin show us the perfect example is Jesus. And it says our attitude should be the same as Jesus. Jesus valued people. But he wasn't a pushover, was he? He had his own ethics and morals and codes that he lived by. He upheld them in every way. Yet his other people were always on his mind, even to the point where he was prepared to give his life for other people. And you know what? When Jesus followers, when Christians start to really take this seriously, whoa, we become so attractive to other people. People are like, I want what they've got. There's a freedom about them. They're willing to let other people take the spotlight, willing to let other people go first because they're so committed to unity here. And when we become attractive, the church becomes attractive as well because people are heard, they are valued, relationships are strong and unified, and the best outcomes are pushed forward. But this doesn't just happen automatically. As I said, I really believe today's message is quite introspective about taking really a long, hard, deep look at ourselves and where we sit on the scale of some of these things. You know, I think, if I'm honest with you, I think submission is always going to be a lifelong battle for me. It doesn't come naturally. But it's my choice as to how I want to choose to behave. No one else can make that choice for me. And no one else can make that choice for you as to how you choose to behave as well. Well, each week in this series, we're trying to give you a challenge. So our challenge for this week, should you choose to accept it, is when you are confronted with a situation where you just so desperately want to get your way, make a conscious decision to back down and let the other person have their way. Some of you, this will be before you've even got to the car this morning. Okay? I can guarantee it. Because submission isn't stifling. It is freeing. Amen. Well, rather than perhaps a response time like we might have, I'm actually just going to give everyone just a minute or so of just quiet in the room. And I want you to have a conversation with God. Maybe you've never really talked to God before. It could be just saying, has something here today spoken to me? Or is there something I want to change that God's prompting me to change about myself? That might be where you come from. So we're just going to have a few minutes of quiet, a few moments of quiet, and then I'm going to pray. Let's go. We thank you, God, that you've given us the Bible to help guide us. And we think about these verses today from the book of Philippians and how they've been so instructional. And they give us just such practical ways about how we can apply this idea of submission to our lives. And Heavenly Father, I just pray for everyone here today at this church. this word that has so many negative connotations and it's been so abused over the years. Help us to look at this word in a fresh and new light today, where we don't see submission as stifling, but when we use submission in a biblical way, it becomes totally freeing. We find that freedom, God, when we're committed to unity. So I pray that there would be a determination in every person here that they would want to be committed to being unified with each other, being like-minded. I pray for every person, God, that they would choose to display humility. They would not want to be into self-promotion or pride, God, but you would do your work in us around that. And that we would be people who want to surrender our interests to you and to others. That we're not so absorbed in pushing our own agenda that we forget to value people. God, do a fresh work through your Holy Spirit in each of us. That you can mold us into who Jesus showed us how we could be. And to follow his example and display his attitudes. We pray this in your name. Amen.